Only minor tweaks proposing. Okay, so Rich Harris again talked to you about our Bighorn Sheep whack, and it involves two whacks because we also have the auction and raffle whack involved with the sheep and goat. We have a very minor tweak on that. So not too much of interest happening with our Bighorn Sheep, which is probably a good thing. I don't have any population collapses to report to you. I'm happy to tell you about that. We'll start with the southeast corner of the state in Commissioner Holtzmiller's world. We have our Rocky Mountain raffle down there that is a really good fundraiser for us. And this year, that's applicable to the Asotin herd, which is still just kind of growing, and we're getting back into the hunting world pretty soon, hopefully, but not quite yet. It's also applicable to the Hall Mountain herd way up here near Sullivan Lake, which is tiny, but there are a couple of big rams up there. It's also applicable to the Wenaha and Mountain View herds, and that's a herd that we share with Oregon, and also the Nez Perce tribe has rights to it. So we have begun a rotational system that allows the different jurisdictions to offer a permit for that herd, and this is our year. And so that's one reason why we are proposing to change the GMU to which this raffle permit would apply from 172 to 169. There's also enough information to suggest there are some big rams in there. This is the kind of hunt where we typically get somebody who's interested in particularly big ram, and that that results in good income to us. We I'll give you a preview to the some of the negative comments we've received on our Bighorn Sheep proposals this year, and that is folks don't like providing a raffle opportunity, or for that matter an auction would be the similar, if we don't also have a draw permit opportunity for the same area. And that's a real understandable concern. We don't like it a lot either. We would much rather, most of our biologists, and I think in Olympia as well, we don't want to be seen as always catering to the well-heeled. In almost all of our situations, we do have draw permits that parallel, or that in fact much more numerous than our auction and raffle. We're hoping that that won't be the case for very much longer. The Asotin herd is starting to show signs of life. We think we may have gotten it actually out of the disease state, but we don't have quite enough rams there yet to offer a draw permit. And so this is one of the situations in which we do have a raffle that does not have a corresponding draw hunt. And the criticism from the public could be, well, you're just doing that as a fundraiser. And the answer is guilty as charged. That's correct. But the money we make from that goes into the disease research, and it's really helping us get a handle on this disease. So I think in the long term, it's actually a good thing for Bighorn Sheep. We don't do it very often, but we are proposing that we do it in this case here. Other than that, we have some small increases that in our harvest amounts. Chelan Butte is the population in Chelan Butte, near the town of Chelan. In fact, it straddles the town of Chelan. That herd's been growing, and it's time to increase the allowable permit there for rams. So we'll be increasing that from 2 to 4, proposing that increase. But we'll split the season. Again, it's a small area. We don't want hunters right on top of each other, so a few for the early season and a couple for the late season there. Lincoln Cliffs is a population that's approximately stable, but there are some landowner complaints there. Ram hunting isn't going to really do anything to change the trajectory of the population, but it's large enough now that according to our own game management plan, we can support 2 permits, so we'll do that. The other thing, okay, more on ram permits. Okay, I'm out of order here. Our Clement herd is our breadbasket herd. That's the herd that just keeps growing, and no matter what we throw at it, part of that may be because we feed it artificially in the winter when we want to capture animals, but they don't take advantage of that too much. For whatever reason, that herd is really doing very well. But we don't want it to get much larger because it's in a dangerous neighborhood, not too far away our domestic sheep allotments that we don't want getting mixed up. So we want to kind of keep the herd where it is and not allow it to grow to whatever it wants to get to. So we're proposing a number of new ewe permits. The Yakima tribe has co-management rights with that, and they take rams, and they also can take some ewes, but they don't seem to want to take the ewes. They haven't been using their allocation. They could if they want, but we can take the ewes from this population, and it'll just do fine. We're proposing a new ewe hunt that we haven't had in the Lincoln Cliffs before, but it's time to start seeing if we can keep that population from growing as well. What we found, if you haven't been there, this is our Lincoln Cliffs, as you can see, is one of our wilderness herds. I'm being sarcastic. This is a herd that you can find on the pavement, and they're in people's fields. I think the community is of different minds. I think there are a lot of folks who just love to have them there. There are some people who are not so happy to have them in the fields. There's a lot of private land access issues in this area as well. So there's only so many we probably can provide for people, but we'll be doing some ewe hunting there. We did put GPS collars on this herd a few years ago, and on the right-hand side, these are in dots showing locations of rams, and they go back and forth along this entire bluffs of the Columbia here. The ewes group up into two somewhat distinct herds. This one here we call the Whitestone group. This here we call the Lincoln Cliffs group, and they're connected via ram movement, but very rarely do ewes visit their friends and neighbors from one to the other. So rather than it seems appropriate to have the ewe hunt reflect this geographic distinction. So we'll have the Lincoln Cliffs ewe, we'll have one permit in the Lincoln area, and establish this new area, one in the Whitestone area.
So my understanding was there was no recruitment into these two populations this year.
I don't believe that's correct.
Okay.
We did have a year, about 3 years ago now, we had a recruitment failure. We got worried that meant that they had disease.
Right.
That's one of the reasons we went in and captured so many. We were afraid we were going to find pneumonia. We did not. We were never able to determine for certainty the reason for that recruitment failure. It may have been predation. But it went away. And the next year we had normal recruitment. The year after that we had normal recruitment. So that herd is getting the approximate recruits that are replacing natural mortality.
Okay.
I can double check. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure we did a survey recently.
Yeah.
Yeah? No recruitment?
That's
maybe down.
Maybe down.
Maybe down. I don't think that, even if that's the case, we'll monitor that. Mm-hmm. And if that continues to be a problem, we may have to revisit it. But I don't think, this is a herd that if it's a little bit smaller, is probably not a bad thing. It's an area that it's largely private land. So I don't have a problem with this herd being a little bit smaller if that's what ewe hunts presents.
And it used to be a place where kids and people hiking up that valley or across would always see sheep, and I don't see them anymore. What happened to them?
You're talking about the Yakima Canyon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of our diseased herds.
Oh.
And what happened was we lost about a third of them in 2009, 2010. But what we call with this disease, what happens is you get an initial die-off. The animals that survive the die-off are now resistant. They will have normal lifespans, and they will have young. But the young are not resistant. And what we found is that a minority of animals, and in the case of the Yakima Canyon herd, it's less than 10%, may even be less than 5% of the animals, are what we call carriers. They continue to have the pathogen in their respiratory system, in their nose, even though they don't show symptoms themselves. They pass it on to the kids, and the kids all die, or almost all of them. So we haven't had recruitment in that herd. We've had a few, but we've had very poor recruitment. Even though the lambs are born, if you go in April or March even, you'll see kids. If you come back in July, you don't find any kids. So now the herd is gradually declining due to natural attrition of the old animals, which don't live forever, and hardly any animals to replace them. We are generating proposals to try to work on that. What we've done in Asotin, the Asotin herd, is we've captured so many of the animals that we actually figure out who the carriers are and remove those animals. In the case of Asotin, we didn't lethally remove them. We actually captured them, and they went off to a research facility in South Dakota where they're continuing to add to our understanding of the disease. But that herd was only about 35 or 40 animals when we started doing that. Now it's up to around 65, if I recall, something like that, maybe 70. The Yakima Canyon herd still numbers 200. It's hard to catch all the animals when there's 200 of them. And when less than 10% of them are the carriers, you have to catch animal after animal to even find the ones who are the Typhoid Marys keeping the disease going. It's a very difficult research project to design. So we've struggled to come up with a design. It's going to be expensive. We hope to get into that next year. And if we are successful, it will still take a few more years before we can see if we can get rid of the disease in that herd. But that's what happens when you get this pneumonia, is you get this year after year of just enough animals getting it, carrying it, to result in all the kids, lambs dying.
Now, if I got you right, the raffle tag can only hunt in a Wenaha down there this year then?
Yes, and Mount Hall. I'm sorry, Hall Mountain, yes.
Okay, but in our area. And you have turned the corner in our part of the world on the sheep. It's amazing the difference in the last 4 or 5 years. Everybody looks good and healthy. The lambs, we're seeing really good lambs. This past fall, it was a good sheep show down there. Some really nice rams.
That's really good to hear. We're crossing our fingers and hoping that this is good news is going to stay, because the other characteristic of this disease is sometimes it gives you a false signal of all clear. Sometimes we'll see some years where all the lambs survive and you think, oh, whatever happened, we got rid of it, the last of them died, and then the next year you get a miserable lamb recruitment as well.
But you're not seeing the old woody looking ewes and that kind of stuff. Everybody looks good. So.
Good, yeah. Well, we're optimistic that this new idea of identifying the specific animals that have the specific pathogen is going to get us over the hump. I think that's what I've got on bighorns.
I have a curiosity question.
So
where generally are the Rocky Mountains and where are the Californias? And then second part of that is, there a difference in hunter preference?
Oh, yeah.
I figured that was the answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, touchy issue. In Washington, the herds that we consider to be Rocky Mountains are that Hall Mountain up by Sullivan Lake, mm-hmm. In Ponderay County, mm-hmm. and the ones in Blue Mountain,
yeah,
Asotin, Wenaha, that whole Snake River, Blue Mountain area is what we consider Rockies. All other ones, including Toucanon. All others we consider to be California. That's based on an assessment years ago of where we think that those quote-unquote subspecies lived. Biologists have since decided that they're probably not really subspecies. We still manage them separately.
I read that, yeah.
There is a hunter preference for the Rocky Mountain because they have slightly larger horns. Mm-hmm. Not that much larger. If you look, for example, at our Sinlahican herd of California animals, they are approaching the size of some of the Rocky Mountains as well. But generally speaking, for better or for worse, the hunter it prefers the Rocky Mountain. And that's one reason that we actually just make a distinction. A lot of our hunters are interested in the biggest horn they can find.
Mm-hmm.
And if and perhaps when we lump the Californias in with the Rockies, those will appear to be relatively small-horned animals. But by standards of California animals, our Washington California animals are actually quite large.
Hmm.
So there is a distinction. You can see the statistical difference. On the greater scheme of things, how real that difference is biologically remains to be seen.
Thank you.
When the paper comes out, I'm going back to Moose for a second, when that paper comes out in the journal, could you let us know, or your
absolutely
give us a link.
We're responding to reviewer comments right now,
yeah.
But the reviewer comments were relatively positive, so we're optimistic we'll be able to address those, and it'll be published soon.
Great, thank you, and congratulations. Okay.